Please turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 87, the Belgic Confession, our Confession of Faith, Article 35, the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, page 87. We believe and confess that our Savior, Jesus Christ, did ordain and institute the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and support those whom he has already regenerated and incorporated into his family, which is his church. Now those who are regenerated have in them a twofold life, the one corporal and temporal, which they have from the first birth and is common to all men, the other spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in their second birth, which is effected by the word of the gospel in the communion of the body of Christ. And this life is not common, but is peculiar to God's elect. In like manner, God has given us, for the support of the bodily and earthly life, earthly and common bread, which is subservient thereto and is common to all men, even as life itself. But for the support of the spiritual and heavenly life, which believers have, he has sent a living bread, which descended from heaven, namely, Jesus Christ, who nourishes and strengthens the spiritual life of believers when they eat him. That is to say, when they appropriate and receive him by faith in the Spirit. In order that he might represent unto us the spiritual and heavenly bread, Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as a sacrament of his body, and wine as a sacrament of his blood, to testify by them unto us that as certainly as we receive and hold this sacrament in our hands, and eat and drink the same with our mouths, by which our life is afterwards nourished, we also do as certainly receive by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our soul, the true body and blood of Christ, our only Savior, in our souls, for the support of our spiritual life. Now, as it is certain and beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ has not enjoined to us the use of his sacraments in vain, so he works in us all that he represents to us by these holy signs, though the manner surpasses our understanding and cannot be comprehended by us, as the operations of the Holy Spirit are hidden and incomprehensible. In the meantime, we err not when we say that what is eaten and drunk by us is the proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ. But the manner of our partaking of the same is not by the mouth, but by the Spirit through faith. Thus then, though Christ always sits at the right hand of his Father in the heavens, yet does he not therefore cease to make us partakers of himself by faith. This feast is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself with all his benefits to us, and gives us there to enjoy both himself and the merits of his sufferings and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls by the eating of his flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of his blood. Further, though the sacraments are connected with the thing signified, nevertheless, both are not received by all men. The ungodly indeed receives the sacrament to his condemnation, but he does not receive the truth of the sacrament, even as Judas and Simon the sorcerer both indeed received the sacrament, but not Christ who was signified by it, of whom believers only are made partakers. Lastly, we receive this holy sacrament in the assembly of the people of God with humility and reverence, keeping up among us a holy remembrance of the death of Christ our Savior with thanksgiving, making their confession of our faith and of the Christian religion. Therefore, no one ought to come to this table without having previously rightly examined himself, lest by eating of this bread and drinking of this cup, he eat and drink judgment to himself. In a word, we are moved by the use of this holy sacrament to a fervent love toward God and our neighbor. Therefore, we reject all mixtures and damnable inventions which men have added unto and blended with the sacraments as profanations of them, and affirm that we ought to rest satisfied with the ordinance which Christ and his apostles have taught us, and that we must speak of them in the same manner as they have spoken. Let us take our Bibles and turn in them first to the Gospel account of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. It's found on page 1057 in the Pew Bibles, Matthew 26. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26. Congregation, hear now the very words of God. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us turn to the Gospel account of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 47. It's found on page 1135, John 6, verse 47 and following. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." Lastly, we'll read from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, page 1289, James 1. James 1, verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. As far the reading of God's holy word. A congregation, when we sit down to eat a meal, say lunch, supper, dinner, it's often a wonderful time of fellowship, isn't it? But we don't sit down for a meal only for the fellowship, but also to be nourished by what we eat and what we drink. Now, children, think if you're trying to feed a baby some food at the table, well, you need to feed that baby good food, right? Nutritious food. And you need to get that food inside the baby's mouth. It doesn't do any good to keep it in the bowl or all over his or her cheeks, have the face smeared with food. And it takes practice, doesn't it, to get it right, to get that food in the baby's mouth. Well, we can apply these things to the Lord's Supper. We are to be nourished with Christ, and we need to actually partake of Christ. How does all that happen? Well, this week we consider the second of the two sacraments that Christ instituted in the New Covenant Church, the Holy Supper, also called the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. And just as with baptism, so with communion. The focus ought not to be on the outward administration. Focus ought not to be on our own selves. The focus is always to be on God's gospel promise. Christ and His shed blood. And the promise of forgiveness to all who trust in Jesus. That God forgives the sins of all who entrust themselves to Jesus. That's what the supper shows us and assures us of. As I proclaim to you this evening, Christ gives us Himself in the Holy Supper. Christ gives us Himself in the Holy Supper. And first we consider that we are presented with Christ. We are presented with Christ. Now, ordinarily when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the minister, what does he do, young people? The minister takes bread and takes a slice of it and breaks it visibly before all. And then hands trays of broken bread to the elders. The elders go and distribute that bread to professing members of the congregation. And then each one, when the appropriate time comes, takes and eats the bread. And something similar occurs with the wine. Well, what we see with our eyes, what we touch with our hands, what we taste with our mouths, what we are presented with in an earthly way is earthly bread and earthly wine. Physically, substantially, there's nothing more. There's nothing less. But this is a sacrament. And so God presents something to us in addition to the bread and wine. Christ Himself. Christ Himself is presented. Now, celebrating the Lord's Supper is not simply our act of remembering, as though, as one theologian put it, we were at a funeral, remembering a dearly departed one. And recall, the sacraments are not primarily about us. Not even this one, not even our act of remembering. We are to remember. That's the command. Do this in remembrance of me. But what is it we remember? The gospel. The death of Christ. That Jesus allowed His blessed body to be broken, His precious blood to be shed, so that all our sins would be completely forgiven. We aren't to be focused on our act of remembering, but focused on Christ's act of redemption. We read from Matthew's gospel account, where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And in verse 26, He said, "Take, eat, this is My body." In verse 28, "This is My blood." We are presented with Jesus Himself. Remember the good news, children, that we hear at Christmas time. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. In the Lord's Supper, the Savior is presented to you. His blessed body, His precious blood. Now, some in our time, churches around us, don't think Christ is presented in that way, that He's present in the sacrament. They bring out that it is the remembrance, merely a remembrance we perform. But yeah, that's not what we saw taught in the Bible, just a remembrance. The truth comes out again and again from John 6. Jesus said in verse 53, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." Verse 58, "This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus calls the bread in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper His body. We read that. We read just that. His flesh. And He calls the wine in the sacrament His blood. So while the minister and the elders present to us and our senses earthly bread, earthly wine, God presents to us, to our souls, Christ Himself. To the body, earthly bread and wine, to the soul, Christ Himself. So congregation, we are to lift up our hearts to heaven and not remain fixed on the earthly elements. These elements are meant to draw our hearts upward to Christ Himself, not to our memories, not to our fond thoughts, not to earthly bread and earthly drink. Christ. Christ is presented to us. Christ gives us Himself in the Holy Supper. And with this giving Himself to us, presenting Himself to us, He is giving us eternal life, heavenly blessedness. We read in John 6, verse 48, "I am the bread of life." That means life in every good, eternal, blessed sense, living forever instead of ending in death, living in blessedness instead of existing under God's wrath and curse. It means living with meaning now, lasting meaning, instead of going through this life bound to the things that pass away. Brothers and sisters, look to Christ. Receive Christ. Feast on Christ. And receiving Christ, receive life to its fullest. There in Jesus is the cure for our sin. And all then that comes from sin, whether it be worry or anger or greed or forms of depression or lust or discontent. What is it you're struggling with? What sin? Find in Christ the cure. Find in Christ life. He is the bread of life. Christ gives us Himself in the Holy Supper. We are presented with Christ. Now, along with this presentation is how we partake of Christ. And that we move to in our second point, partaking by the Spirit. Partaking by the Spirit. So we eat the bread, we drink the wine, but in that earthly eating and drinking, we're not partaking of Christ Himself in that earthly eating and drinking. We can't do that. Children, where is Jesus now? He's in heaven, isn't He? He's not on earth. That's where we are. When Jesus ascended into heaven, we saw on Ascension Day, didn't we? He's there. And the angels, we read of that account, the angels told the disciples that Jesus was taken up from them into heaven and will come back again. Jesus is not now on earth. So how can we partake of Him then? Well, our partaking is not some imaginary thing in imagination. It's not merely accepting the doctrines and teachings of Christ. That's not what we mean when we say we partake of Christ. We really partake of Him. He is truly presented. We partake of His body. We partake of His blood. Jesus was very clear We have to partake of his flesh and his blood, or we have no life in ourselves. There is something real going on, real about which we are talking, something real of whom we are partaking. But it's not in a carnal way of eating with our mouth. It's by the Holy Spirit that we partake of Christ. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The Spirit, you see, Jesus himself turns our focus there. It's not the earthly bread and wine, but the Spirit who gives life. And it's by the Spirit we partake of Christ, who is the bread of life, by which partaking then we are nourished, we are refreshed with Jesus. Can we explain that in detail? No. It's a mystery. Our confession calls it incomprehensible. We can't comprehend it. We can't wrap our minds, our arms around it. But so too are all the operations of the Holy Spirit. His regenerating us. Who can understand that? His renewing us. Operations that are real, but incomprehensible, mysterious. Don't be offended at this mystery. We're simply creatures. In fact, when someone says to you, I can remove the mystery, I can make God and his works comprehensible, you can wrap your minds around it, right then say, well, I'm not so sure. If God reveals it, yes. But otherwise, we can't. He's the creator. We are humans. He is God. Should it surprise us that God's wonderful working upon us and within us is mysterious? No. Let us not become proud and think we can fully explain that wonderful mystery of the Holy Supper. Let us not become proud and think we can fully explain even the mystery of saving faith and laying hold of Christ. The partaking of Christ by the Spirit. And we live in an age that does emphasize being able to test and experiment, detect and analyze, to pursue knowledge and experience until it's fully and exhaustively known, able to be calculated and modeled. Let us be content to say the Holy Spirit, he acts upon our souls. And that's something beyond our capability to grasp. But we see not everyone is content with that mystery. The Roman Catholic Church says that the substance of the bread actually becomes the substance of Christ's body. Likewise, the wine, that substance actually becomes the substance of Christ's blood. There's a transformation so that the substances of bread and wine, when it's consecrated, when the priest says those words, hoc est corpus meum, this is my body, they're transformed so that the bread, the substance, is no longer there, but Christ's body is there. And so too with the blood. So that what people really and truly eat with their mouths, in an earthly sense, is really and truly the body of Christ. Now, similarly, although different, the Lutherans hold that while the bread is really and truly earthly bread, and the wine is really and truly earthly wine, the body and blood of Christ are also really and truly present in, with, and under the bread and wine. Again, so that what is eaten with the mouth is the flesh and blood of Christ. But that's not what we see, what we teach from the Scriptures. We eat by our mouths only bread, earthly bread. We drink only earthly wine by our mouths. By the Spirit. That's key. He is key. By the Spirit, we eat Christ's body and blood. There's no mystery in the bread and wine, but there is mystery in how the Holy Spirit causes us to really and truly partake of Christ. And that's something the Jews in Jesus' own day didn't grasp. In response to Jesus' teaching, they asked, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Later in verse 60, when many of his disciples heard it, they asked, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And at this teaching, many of Jesus' own disciples, not the 12, but many others, stopped following Christ. We didn't read it, but it's right there in verse 66. Look at that for church growth. The truth is taught, and what happens? His own disciples leave him. They were thinking of that eating and drinking somewhat then as the Romanists and Lutherans do, in an earthly manner, rather than as Jesus intended by the Holy Spirit through faith. And as with the sacrament of holy baptism, so with the sacrament of the Holy Supper, the outward earthly administration points to the spiritual reality, the reality which the Holy Spirit works. Again, charismatics look for the work of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit. They look for it in speaking in tongues and other miraculous things you can see. Here's the work of the Spirit joining us to Christ. We have it whenever we celebrate the sacrament. We are Spirit-filled and very much looking for the work of the Spirit. That spiritual reality. Christ gives us Himself in the Holy Supper. We partake by the Spirit. Now, along with this manner of partaking, by the Spirit, not by the flesh, is a related way of participating. We've mentioned it, but now we're going to get into it more. Participating through faith. Participating through faith. We move to that in our third point. So, it is with our earthly hand we receive the bread and the wine. It's with our earthly mouths we eat and drink. But as our confession brings out, it is with the hand that is faith, so to speak, that we receive Christ by the Spirit. Jesus brought that out in John 6, verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. You see, Jesus refers here a lot about eating and drinking His flesh and His blood. But He gives the key to understanding it. He says, the Spirit gives life, not the flesh. And He says right there in 47, whoever believes has eternal life. So then we must truly feed on Christ's body and drink His blood so we can have eternal life, so that we can live. He is presented to us. And it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no account, no avail. And it is whoever believes has that life. Those are the keys to understanding rightly and partaking rightly the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Only true believers actually partake of Jesus. Those who might eat the bread and drink the wine yet are unbelieving do not partake of Christ. They partake simply of earthly bread and earthly wine. Only believers partake of Christ. And that, too, is different from other views that believe that whoever partakes of the sacrament really and truly partakes of Christ. But Jesus, again, is quite clear in our reading from John, verse 56. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Whoever. There's no exceptions there. Jesus also said in verse 47, whoever believes has eternal life. You see, Jesus connects these for us. He connects the dots. It is only believers who feed on the flesh and drink the blood of Christ. Others, unbelievers, have no spiritual reality unto life and blessedness. Instead, by partaking in unbelief, they're testifying that they don't have the Son of God, that they don't have eternal life, but instead are under God's judgment. The reality of their not partaking of Christ shows the reality that they are under God's judgment, His wrath. Therefore, let the wicked hear. Let the wicked fear and turn from his sins. By God's grace, let him forsake his evil ways and turn to the Lord, entrusting himself to Jesus for righteousness, for forgiveness, for life. Because for the sake of Jesus, God forgives all the sins of everyone who entrusts themselves to Jesus. As Jesus said, whoever believes has eternal life. Now, we live in the midst of a world that tempts us with its own idea of life, don't we? Fame, power, money, health, pleasures, self, whatever it is, Christ gives true and everlasting life. Young people, hear this plain message. The world offers you so much, promises you so much. Even if it could deliver on its promises, even if you reached the top of the world, even if you lived the American dream, it will all pass away into destruction. A few short years, and it's gone. And that's the most you could have. Living by sight, living by what you can see and feel and hear and taste. And so often the world fails to deliver even on its promises, doesn't it? Look at the riots around us. Many people look for heaven now, here, and they don't have it. They can't have it because that's not what earth can give. We should strive for a just and equitable society here below. We should be diligent in our work and our labor, loving our neighbor. But don't put your hope here. Don't put your hope in America. Hope in God alone. To this, those who live by faith, who entrust themselves to Jesus, there is life, everlasting life, life to the fullest. We'll go through many trials in this life. In fact, the Lord promises those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. That's a promise, not some victory, suffering. Although suffering, we have victory, but not an earthly way of thinking of victory. The joy of belonging to the Lord, of being nourished even now by Him, by the Spirit. That is of lasting value, yes, but it's the only thing that's really valuable now, in this life, in this world. And the world, the flesh, the devil, they'll tell you whatever else. That doesn't last. Christ does. People of God, trust in Jesus always. By His grace, don't turn to the right hand or to the left hand. Be nourished by Christ. Be nourished and rejoice. That's what celebrating the Lord's Supper is all about. Not some sad event. Again, we're not at a funeral. It's a joyful celebration. Somber, reverent, yes, but joyful celebration of Christ nourishing you unto eternal life. It's not a funeral. It's a feast. As Christ gives us Himself in the Holy Supper, and as we participate through faith, partaking by the Spirit of Christ Himself, who is presented to us then, there's one other item that we ought to be aware of in rightly celebrating the sacrament. That's what we move to in our last point. It's rightly professing the Christian religion. Rightly professing the Christian religion. What we read from James, the book of James, our confession applies to celebrating the Lord's Supper when it says, no one ought to come to this table without having previously rightly examined himself. Part of that self-examination, and it comes out so wonderful in our forms. It involves confessing our sin, trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. Those relate to the first part of the Christian faith. Young people, you know, sin, salvation, then service. Now, one more part of self-examination. Do we desire to serve God? That's what relates to what our confession says, that we are moved by the use of this holy sacrament to a fervent love toward God and our neighbor. That's what James wrote of, James 1, verse 26 and 27. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And that especially ties in with that third part of self-examination. Do we desire to show gratitude to God by living a life of love? Love toward God, love toward neighbor. To keep ourselves unstained from the world. And you and I, we can know with our minds all sorts of things about the Christian religion. We can even confess that we are great sinners and salvation is found in Jesus alone. But as James wrote, someone can deceive his heart. Self-deception. Having truths in the mind without truly being changed in the heart by the Spirit. So there is true faith. true faith then, which results in a changed life. And that addresses preparing for the Lord's Supper. Is there a change in your life? Is there a desire now to love God, to love neighbor? Don't throw up your hands about a particular sin. Don't say, that's just the way I am. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, he actually did something about sin. He actually did something to the reign, the enthronement of sin. He cast it down. And Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven. It's not just something in the future. The fullness is, yes. The kingdom of heaven is now, even now, present among us. Righteousness, peace, joy. Paul said that in Romans. And those who are apart from Christ, separate from Jesus, they aren't changed. Oh, they might go through some surface change. They might feel sorry for things they've done wrong and might be called on the carpet for certain things. We see that in the world around us, don't we? But they aren't truly changed. But those who are joined to Christ, to which the Lord's Supper points, you're actually changed. Sin no longer has mastery over the true Christian. You and I no longer need to yield to temptation as an unbeliever does, because you and I are truly nourished by Christ, nourished unto eternal life, a life that goes on forever, a life that is true living even now, living as God created us to love God, to love our neighbor. The sacrament draws our attention there also. Religion is not just a private matter between you and God. True religion, as James wrote, it must show forth in how we live with others. Will we sin? Yes. We sin against God. We sin against others. But is there that change? Is there that desire? That turning from, that turning toward? If you say you're a sinner, and you say you believe that Jesus died for you, that means nothing if there's no change in your life. Not because we're saved by works, no. We're saved by Christ alone through faith alone. But that shows up in works. Young people, you've been raised in a Christian home. That, as we said this morning, wonderful blessing. Wonderful blessing. But so what to you? Your home might be Christian. Are you? Congregation, have you been changed by the Spirit of God? Not simply to say you're a great sinner, to say Jesus is the only Savior. Have you actually been set free from sin? From its guilt, from its mask? Do you know that freedom? We see so much strife in our society. We're not called to go everywhere and right all the wrongs in every place. But what are you doing where God has placed you? How does your Christian concern for the unborn show up? How does your Christian concern for a just society show up? How does your Christian concern of love for neighbor, regardless of the color of his or her skin, show up? What does your life look like? Don't deceive. James said that. Don't deceive. Listen to what God says in his word. No one is to partake of the Lord's Supper without previously examining himself, herself, to see the Lord's work in our heart and life, such that we desire to live a godly life, forsake the world, seek to follow after Christ. Again, no one does that perfectly, not even close. And as we grow in faith, as we mature spiritually, we realize, don't we, more and more, just how far short. I fall, you fall. But is there change? That's the point. If there's no change, if there's no desire, if there's not a heartfelt, though imperfect, desire to lead a godly life, you're deceiving yourself. By God's grace, repent. Don't just say sin is wrong, but say, Lord, I am wrong. I am a great sinner. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Change me. Congregation, we're called to this type of self-examination when we prepare to come to the Lord's Supper, but also all our lives. Don't wait till the week before the supper is celebrated. Don't think, well, I can put that off. No, every day we're to be examining ourselves. Sin, salvation, service. Examine your heart. Examine your life. Where you see sin, confess it to the Lord. By His grace, turn from it. Entrust yourself constantly to Christ for His righteousness and this forgiveness from God for the sake of Christ's shed blood. And in the power of the Spirit, strive to live a godly life, loving God, loving neighbor. And those who by God's grace see these three things in their heart and life, sin, salvation, service, guilt, grace, gratitude, rest assured, though you and I, though we are so unworthy in ourselves, God accounts you worthy. You are one of God's children. And when you come to this table, we don't come righteous in ourselves. We come declaring we're sinners. We say, Lord, help me. And we rejoice that Christ is nourishing us. He gives us Himself to nourish and refresh us unto eternal life, not just in the by and by, but living that out now, so that our faith would grow, so that we would be encouraged, so we would be moved to a fervent love toward God and our neighbor. What a wonderful blessing God gives us in the Lord's Supper to our spiritual growth. A wonderful blessing to the praise of His holy name. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son. And He is proclaimed to us. He speaks to us in the preaching of the gospel. But thank you also for giving us the sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion, Holy Supper. That in the supper, Christ is presented to us. We partake of Him by the Spirit through faith. Oh, Lord, change us. Nourish us. For we have nothing in ourselves, nothing that can change ourselves truly. Not all the governments or social action in the world can change us, but you can and you do, and so do, oh Lord, we pray. The righteousness that Christ brought into our existence, that He is for us, that You would transform us by Christ's Spirit. Oh Lord, may You be praised in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.